Hey yo, and here we go. Another episode of We Talk Music is on the air and in your ear, and I am Mo, joined once again by King of the Casters, Mr. Brett Podcasts. And Brett, a legend is with us today.
A legend truly is with us today. I mean, what a career this man has had. I mean, solo albums, to join Blood, Sweat, and Tears, Grammy Awards, Canadian Music Hall of Fame, Songwriters Hall of Fame, Canada Walk of Fame. We are joined by David Clayton Thomas, and it is truly an honor, sir. David, how are you?
Thank you. Good to talk to Calgary, one of my favorite towns.
Well, excellent. We like it too. I mean, well, we're stuck good. Here.
Do you want to take the time then to insult Edmonton with us then, or?
Only if you want to talk hockey. This is cruel and unusual punishment. Not only do they say we can't go out of the house, but we can't get hockey. For a Canadian, that's like slow death, right?
Yeah, I know, right in the height of the season. Oh, this is a killer.
Well, for the Leafs, it was kind of merciful.
Oh, yeah, I suppose. If
you're out in Eastern Canada, we were not having a good year.
Yeah, certainly didn't live up to the expectations. But to the album.
Yes, which Brett, does live up to expectations.
Yes, I must say this,
well,
sir.
Well, thank you. It's causing a lot of noise, that's for sure.
I have to tell you, sir, as far as I'm concerned, you have lost nothing on your fastball. That is one of the most explosive albums I've heard in years. And I mean that in a good way.
When we got it finished, I said to the record company, "This is, people are either going to love this or they're going to be really pissed off at me." Whatever, as long as they feel something, as long as they think about what the album's about, then my job is done.
Yeah, I mean, the album is Say Something, and it came out March 20th, and yeah, I mean, politically charged, it's fantastic. I mean, the music is amazing, like the melodies, but lyrical content, I mean, wow. That's where, I mean, your lyrics are amazing.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm glad you get it. It's been getting tremendous reviews. They've just been pouring in. I'm really astounded at how many cages this one rattled, you know? And the reviews are all pretty much the same, you know? They're saying, you know, we're all locked at home, in at home, and everybody's pissed off. And this is a pissed off album. I say, yes, it is. There's a lot out there today to be pissed off about. There is a few bright moments on it, though, and there's a few little humor in there, too. It's not down and dark, but there is a fair amount of anger in it. And I think we all should be a little angry today about what's going on, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. To me, it didn't come across like anger so much as honesty. It's just brutally honest. You know, it's saying it does feel like you were sitting there and you said, you know what, to hell with it. I got to get this off my chest.
Doesn't pull any punches, does it?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
That's one of
good.
The reviews said that. About me. It said, at his age, I think he's run out of give a shits. Yes.
And why
I
not?
I like that one. Yeah. And why not, right?
That's a great quote.
Well, it's fantastic because you start out with Burwash, which is, you know, autobiographical. But, I mean, and then you do have God's Country, a bright shining city in God's Country at the end. So, I mean, you do have that kind of hopeful ending to the album.
Yeah, especially God's Country. I just love that song. It's so simple. The way we put it together, it just fell together very, very spare and simple. And it's basically just a bunch of Canadians talking about how much we love Canada. And in this day and age, you know what? I'm so grateful to be here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, aren't we all?
I'm doing phone interviews all day today. Eric Alver, my publicist, he's got me going from 10 o'clock this morning till 6 o'clock tonight. We decided to get it all done in one day.
Wow.
But I just spoke to a guy in New York. And, you know, I have a soft spot in my heart for New York. I lived there for almost 40 years. And they're getting hit really hard right now.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, our government, I got to give them credit, man. They seem to be out on top of this. And, you know, our statistics are way, way down compared to the States right now. And New York is just devastated.
Well, I think it's fairly hard to be on a coast, especially right now. But like when you talk about it, I do think that we're taking it seriously, and that's important.
And we got out in front of it. We've been taking it seriously for a while. You remember, it was just 2 weeks ago, or less than 2 weeks ago, the President of the United States was calling it a Democrat hoax.
Yes.
Well, it's not a hoax, my friend. It's real.
Yeah.
And they're now scrambling to play catch up. And I think Canadians got out on top of it early. And we're not even listed in the top 20 of the countries that are affected by this. And we're still under lockdown, as we should be.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So you're suggesting that King Midas didn't turn this to gold?
Oh, King Midas, you don't think that was about anybody in particular, do you?
well, I mean...
How could you draw such a conclusion?
Well, you know... A, I have ears and a brain, and B, of course, there's your Twitter that shows the picture of him with the crown.
No, absolutely. I like that track a lot. That's one of my favorites, too.
Oh, for sure, for sure. I love...
Please go ahead, Brad.
Well, I was going to say that for me, like, Never Again and The System are my two favorites.
Thank you. Very good. You have good taste, sir. Never Again, it's funny, when I first turned in the masters to the record company, everybody went crazy over Never Again. They said, oh, this should be your first single, let's do a video. So we put together a video on it, and they released it, and Facebook banned it immediately. Within 24 hours, it was dropped. We were allowed to post it on our own sites, of course, but we couldn't advertise it, couldn't boost it. And they claimed it was too political.
Oh, wow.
The record company went back to the drawing board and came up with The Circus, which is way more political than Never Again is. But I don't know. That's not political, but a song objecting to people shooting each other is political. It's too political. Strange world we live in, huh?
Oh, it certainly
that's
is.
That's insane. Yeah, I mean, for me, that's the song that definitely had the most impact on me because that is the song that is angry because of the stupidity and the costs that we're looking at, you know, and it really made me think, you know, about how something happens and you think something's going to change. And then it doesn't, and then it disappears.
Well, the criticism that I've gotten on that song so far has been, how dare you, a Canadian, criticize the United States? Well, I think we've got a right to. First of all, we're all in the same boat. Whatever happens in the States is going to happen to us. However, we don't have mass shootings every 3 days here.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that gives us a right to speak up express our opinions as to why we don't have shootings, why mass shootings are uniquely an American experience. Sure, it happens in the rest of the world sporadically, but not every single day. It doesn't even get the news anymore. Oh, only four guys, only four people killed in this one. you know, back page.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, if it's not 10 or 20, don't bother us. No, it's, as the song says, in time we just grow numb. And, so that one is probably the most controversial song on the record. It certainly has brought up a lot of hate mail and death threats from gun owners in the States.
Well, sure. But, I mean, I think all you need to do is talk about the potential of banning guns and you'll get that.
That's true. It's not a matter of banning guns. You know, Canadians are gun owners. I mean, I grew up in a household with a shotgun, a 22, and a 30-30 over the fireplace. Part of the home family furniture, you know. but I don't think these people that are talking about the Second Amendment. Well, the Second Amendment doesn't allow you to own a bazooka, a tank, a hand grenade. You know what I mean? An RPG. No, it has limits. They used the Second Amendment back in the 30s when Al Capone was running around to outlaw the machine gun because all the cops were outgunned. All of Capone's guys had Tommy guns. with 100-round magazines. They made them illegal, and the country was better for it. They just can't seem to get past this one.
No, no, that's for sure.
What other song you want to talk about?
Well, like I said, the system was my second favorite.
Well, I'm involved with a wonderful Canadian organization. I've been involved with them for many, many years. As you know by the song Burwash, I started off knowing something about being incarcerated.
That's right.
But the system came about, I'm involved with this organization called Peace Builders International. Wonderful organization that we do fundraisers for. I've worked with very, very closely for the last several years. And the idea of Peace Builders is to intercept these kids, 15, 16, 17 years old, before they go into the reformatories. Because once they go into the reformatories, they have an 80% chance, 80% of reoffending, of going back, spending the rest of their life in and out of the system. And, I mean, what business would stand for an 80% failure rate? Well, that's what our government does, 80% failure rate. So Peace Builders intervenes with these kids. And Peace Builders, by the way, of the kids that have gone into the program, has a 90% success rate. 90% of the kids who sign up for Peace Builders, and mostly it's the courts that assign them to Peace Builders. The judge has a choice to either send them to reformatory, in which case they're probably lost, or get them some help. And that's what Peace Builders does. And so I did a big fundraiser here at Corner Hall last November for fundraisers, for Peace Builders. And I came home afterwards and thought, my goodness, something, I got to write this down. And so I basically dedicated the song to Peace Builders, and they're using it in all of their TV and radio ads and everything else. It's become their theme song now.
Wow. That's fantastic. I mean, you know, it's great that, and it's especially because it's something that you know something about. I mean, you're one of the obviously rare success stories to come out of the system in that regard. And I mean, thankfully music was there for you.
Just by accident, you know, I just happened to get lucky and got an old guitar and had some musical talent. But there's a lot of kids that don't get that opportunity and will spend the rest of their lives cycling through the system.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
For me, my favorite, well, I say Never Again had the most impact. My actually favorite track as far as overall was the track right before, This Town. That one spoke to me an awful lot as well.
Well, that's from watching too much CNN.
That's probably it. I used to have a job where watching CNN
that
was part
song
of my
and
job.
The circus both came out of that experience.
Yeah.
You watch this. Whoops, I just stepped on my dog's toe. She wasn't happy about it. I was trying to get her away from the door. Go ahead, guys. Sorry.
No, I say that probably explains why it did so much for me. I used to have a job where part of my job was actually having to watch CNN, which some people would think is a great job, but really it wears on you after a while.
Well, I'm a bit of a news junkie myself, you know. Especially now where we can't go out, so that's the only
yeah.
Our only connection with the world is basically our TV sets and our computers.
True. I also think as soon as I saw the album, I saw, you know, the track. I mean, the title that stands out is Dear Mr. Obama, because it's like, okay, he's a Canadian. He's going to say something about Obama. And that almost seems controversial or gutsy right away, even before you hear the lyrics. And then I
love
hear the
that
lyrics.
Track. It fell together so easily and so naturally. And just noodling around on the piano with Lou Pamonti, and the song just fell into place. But I really admire the man. I saw him speak at a eulogy, again on TV, but I don't know if it was John McCain. I think it might have been John McCain's eulogy, because it was a year and a half ago I wrote the song. And I just thought the man had so much grace and dignity and class and poise and decency and all of those things, what happened?
Yeah.
Where did it go?
Yeah.
You know, and it occurred to me that it was always a given that when a new president came in, he always spoke respectfully about his predecessor. You got to respect the fact that the man did 8 years in the toughest job in the world, put his life on the line. Not Mr. Trump. He came in trashing everything that Obama had done in his 8 years and came in bad-mouthing him right off the bat. And I thought, well, my God, whatever happened to civility? Whatever happened to decency and politeness? And so the song Mr. Obama, while it is very pro-Obama, there's kind of a back of the hand to Trump in there, too, you know, where it says, don't be calling them names. Well, who else does that? So I think you get who I'm talking about. But it's the transition from this dignified, thoughtful man to this train wreck that we have right now. It was just an amazing transition, and that's what gave birth to the song.
So then how long, like over how long a period did you write all the songs on Say Something?
Well, I don't write because I'm going in to do an album. I'm writing all the time. I have my little laptop on the coffee table in front of me, and if an idea pops up, I just jot it down. And I ended up with close to 20, 25 sets of lyrics. And then I started going to my musician friends one at a time. I knew the musicians I wanted to work with on the album. And I'd have them over to the house here, and we'd basically just sit there, and I ran them all by them and see which one struck a chord, who came up with some ideas for it. There's a certain amount of rhythm and melody implied in spoken lyric. It's got its own cadence. And when one of the guys said, oh, I know what to do with that, we whip out a couple of acoustic guitars or whatever, and noodle away at it until we basically cut the 25 lyrics down to about 12 or 13 that we took in the studio, which ended up with 10 on the album.
Because you've been releasing albums quite consistently for a while now. Now, and this one certainly has its theme throughout. Do you kind of look for a theme on most of your albums then?
Well, as we started developing the material, one of the guys one day, we noticed that they were picking sets of lyrics that had a certain continuity to them. They were all current. They were all about something happening today. And one of the guys, I think it was George Kohler, said to me one day, boy, this record really says something. And I, ha-ha, there's our title. Say Something. And so we set out to do an album that does exactly that. It says something. And that goes back to the 60s. You know, we lost it. In the 60s, music was leading a revolution in this country. It stopped a war. And that somehow or another got lost. So maybe there's still people out there that think that way.
Yeah, I think that there is a lot of young artists who are trying to say something, but they're not the ones. There's no really good way to necessarily get the message across through all the noise of what wants to be marketed by the music industry itself.
Yeah, well, the music industry itself is in deep, deep trouble. My heart goes out to the young musicians today because the recording industry has been taken away from them. Because as everybody knows, your Spotify's and your streaming services don't pay anything to the musicians or to the songwriters. It's basically the biggest theft in history. Mm-hmm. And so that source of income that the musicians used to have, studio, is gone. So they're now dependent entirely on going out and playing live gigs. Now they're gone too. So, you know, I'm okay. I'm comfortable. I enjoyed the golden years of the music industry. But right now, the entire music industry is closed. It's shut down. It's nothing. Except the records are still being released. But I wouldn't want to be a young working musician coming up today. It's a really tough world out there for them.
Now, I have a question, especially right now. Like, some companies are choosing to pause the releases of their albums and stuff like that, and whereas some are not, they're just maintaining their album release dates.
I'm sorry, my dog's going crazy here.
No, I figure it's just somebody from Edmonton out there.
I guess you can hear her in the background.
I'm sorry, Brett. Go ahead.
Well, I'm just
She's
wondering.
She's been quiet for 3 hours. As soon as I decide to do an interview, she wants to be talkative.
Yeah, of course. just like us.
Yeah. Right?
That's okay. I love dogs, and it's okay.
but I'm interested in what your thoughts are on holding the release dates of some albums versus just letting them come out. Like, do you think it's that as a society we should be releasing them on time and that people need this, or should we be pausing it?
Well, we didn't have much choice. Our release date was set to March 20th, and True North went ahead and released it anyway, in spite of the shutdown. And it's actually not a bad thing. I called up the record company president one day. I said, "This is a hell of a time to release a new album," because our launch party had to be canceled. We had a live radio show canceled. We had two concerts around the Toronto area here canceled. And he said, "Don't worry about it. Everybody's at home right now. We got a captive audience. So everybody's at home. Everybody's pissed off. And what better time to give them an album with a little attitude, you know?"
Mm-hmm.
And he's proven to be right, actually.
Now, since you're always writing, have you written anything over the last few days in isolation about the current situation?
Oh, a few little ideas, a few little odds and ends that haven't really developed into anything yet, but they will. I'm sure this will be on the next one somewhere.
Well,
I mean, this is a monumental event in our lives, in history,
for sure.
And there never has been anything like this happened.
No.
And even though we're not getting his hit as hard up here in Canada, we're still getting the impact of it.
And it will happen for months. I mean, we'll still. I mean, probably for years we'll notice the impact of it. So,
well, of course, that's what the big frustration is. It's not like they said, "Okay, we're going to lock you down for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever." I think everybody could deal with that, but the uncertainty, not knowing when this is going to end, is really troubling to a lot of people. And you realize the number of essential services you took for granted that now are no longer there. I can't go get my dog groomed. The groomer's closed. I can't get my groceries delivered because the bulk of grocery deliveries have just overwhelmed the system. Their websites have crashed. Just little things that I do every day that I'm used to doing, places I'm used to going, gone. Mm-hmm. Shut down. It's hard to deal with.
Plus, we lost hockey.
Yes, plus hockey, right?
Plus so. My hockey. Two things you can't take away from a Canadian. It's his beer and his hockey.
Well,
I have to say, we're pretty placid, nice people up here, you know, pretty polite and well-behaved. But don't mess with our beer, don't mess with our hockey.
That sounds like the title to your next album.
Say that. Yeah, right? That's a good song right there. Don't take my beer, don't take my hockey.
That sounds great. I'll listen to that.
For sure.
All right, I'll jot that idea down.
Right. Well, I know for a fact that we love your music, and we have enjoyed listening to it for years and years, and so we have certainly appreciated having you on the show, and I know that it's almost time for your next interview, so...
11:45, I got the next one.
Oh, okay.
Got a few minutes. A little
more minutes, yeah.
You got a couple of minutes here. I got to get ready for it.
Yeah. Okay. Excellent. Well, obviously we don't have a timetable set, but you mentioned some of the things that have been canceled. Is there thought towards what you're going to do once all of this is lifted, and what your and any ideas for the future regarding promotion of the album?
Well, yeah. I mean, my agency, of course, is in pandemonium right now because everything's canceled. But they've moved the two March concerts that were supposed to take place last weekend have been moved into June. And the radio show with Jazz FM is just on hold indefinitely until we can do it. I mean, we'll do it, but it's not going to be coordinated with the release of the album the way they wanted. And, you know, you can only just hope that it all comes back.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what everybody's hoping, no matter what business you're in.
Well, and that it go ahead.
I'm saying we can't go on like this indefinitely.
No, but then again, Easter might not be the right time to lift it either. Just saying.
Oh, you don't think we should all go to church and on Sunday, Easter
just
Sunday?
Just saying.
Oh, pack man. The churches? You don't think that's a good idea? No, me neither.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see how everything comes back, too.
Probably gradually.
And just
you know,
what,
I don't know.
What's
it's
different?
The uncertainty. It's the uncertainty that's killing us all, you know?
I mean,
there has been some positives, though. Sorry, there has been some positives, though, in the way that people are. I think there has been some positives in the way people have reacted and reached out to each other and are communicating. I think that you're seeing some of the best of humanity based on this, as you often do.
Oh, yes, you're so right. You know, during the first days of this, like, I haven't been out for a week. I bought a new car this year, and it's been sitting in the garage. It's got nowhere to go. But every day, somebody, my neighbors or friends or whatnot, just call me up to say, hey, you okay? You need anything? Well, that's really something, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It does. Sometimes the worst of times brings out the best in people, doesn't it?
It does. And I think that's a message that amongst all of this, we shouldn't lose.
Okay, I'll write that down for another song in the future.
Well, this is great.
All right, guys, I got to run. It's really been a pleasure talking to the both of you.
Well, thank you so
much. And sending my love out to Calgary. Hope we can get out there this year sometime.
For sure.
I hope so, too. That'd
we hope to be able to get out to see you. And you please tell the folks where to find the new album.
Oh, it's on Linus Records, which is True North, Canada. Great Canadian company, as you know. And it's on Amazon, it's on YouTube, you can get it anywhere.
Awesome.
Thank you so much, sir. I know Canada loves you just like you love Canada, as you should, except for Edmonton.
Just the hockey team now. Listen, they weren't that much better than the Leafs this year, so it's a pick 'em, you know?
All right,
Brett, Mo, good to talk to you guys.
All right, David Clayton Thomas, all the best. Thank you so much.
Have a great day.
All right, you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
If you came here looking for justice, just us is all you'll find. Welcome to the system where the wheels of justice grind. The system is relentless, the cycle never ends. It's the same kids getting arrested over and over again. Oh, the system of justice is broken. It's way beyond repair for kids caught up in the system. You know, justice just ain't fair. The system is working against them. And Lady Justice is blind. Lock 'em up and forget 'em. Out of sight, out of mind. Out of sight, out of mind. Up your dues and then some, and you finally walk out of the pen. But don't you dare spit on the sidewalk or they'll send you right back again. You can't get a job with your record. Don't have a roof over your head. You're just one step ahead of trouble, no matter how careful you tread. Oh, the system of justice is broken. It's way beyond repair for kids caught up in the system. Justice just ain't fair. The system is working against them, and Lady Justice is blind. Lock 'em up and forget 'em. Out of sight, out of mind. Out of sight, out of mind. Big shot on the street, you're a homeless bum, so you get yourself sent up the river where you can be someone. They welcome you back like a hero. It's like coming home again, and you'll live out your life in the system. Become your friend. Oh, the system of justice is broken. It's way beyond repair for kids caught up in the system. You know, justice just ain't fair. The system is working against them, and Lady Justice is blind. Out of mind, out of sight, out of mind.